Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This episode we review Captain America. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Phil.
Hello, I'm Mr. Movie.
And I'm Mr. Phil. Today's film has a suitably red, white, and blue theme, thanks to its hero, Captain America, the First Avenger.
Whatever happens, stay who you are. Not just a soldier, but a good man.
How do you feel?
Taller.
What do you think?
Think it works.
The film from Paramount starts in the present and quickly takes us back to the bygone days of Captain America, a World War II-era superhero who single-handedly saves the world from the dastardly Red Skull, played by Hugo Weaving, and his legion of henchmen, known collectively as Hydra. The film, like many of the super flicks littering the landscape this summer, is an origin story, telling us how scrawny Steve Rogers, played by Chris Evans, becomes the buff, nearly indestructible Captain America via a super soldier serum created by Dr. Erskine, played by Stanley Tucci. After Captain America's first heroics, he is pulled from the front lines until he's needed to rescue his old pal, Sergeant Bucky Barnes, played by Sebastian Stan, and his buddies from the clutches of Hydra. Soon, Captain America and his howling commandos blaze across Europe, taking the battle to Red Skull and his Hydra horde. Now, Captain America has a great retro feel, a refreshing gee-whiz optimism that has been missing from some of our other superhero outings of late, including Last Men's X-Men, which both Mr. Movie and I liked quite a bit. While this serves to make the heroics feel more justified and removes the cynicism that seems to pervade most of the genre, there is a depth missing from this picture that it really needed. Rogers is a pretty straightforward character. He's a good guy who has very straightforward mission, defeat the Nazis. There are a few internal conflicts, gray areas, or any second guessing, which is okay, but makes some of the heroics feel a little vanilla. Thankfully, director Joe Johnson doesn't turn the PG-13 action adventure into a tongue-in-cheek debacle, which would have been a pretty easy thing to do. There are a few moments of humor, but Evans and the rest of the crew thankfully play their parts pretty seriously. There's no hamming it up too much or winking at the inanities of the genre, which is in itself refreshing. Weaving's Red Skull is a good adversary, but there's so much going on in the 2-hour and 5-minute film that there isn't much time for character development, which is too bad because it would have been nice to see a little more shading in all of the characters and feel that they had a little more depth. For instance, I'm a big fan of the old Howling Commando comic book series and was a little disappointed that they didn't get a little more screen time to develop their characters. As a matter of fact, they just basically walk on, shoot guns a few times, and then walk off. That being said, the film is a good intro to both Captain America and is a nice bridge to the other Marvel franchises. And like Thor earlier this summer, the film exists solely as a prologue of sorts to the Avengers film that will unite Thor, Captain America, Iron Man, the Hulk, Hawkeye, Black Widow, and Nick Fury. As with all the Marvel flicks, stick around to the very, very end for some exciting bonus material. Now, I like Captain America. I didn't love it, but I liked it. And I was entertained by the adventures, the designs in particular by Rick Hendricks and his crew. The design for this film is beautiful, and the performances by pretty much everybody. So I'm going to give Captain America a very patriotic B+.
Golly gee, Mr. Film, I don't know if I can add anything to your review because I think you nailed it. It's just spot on there.
Okay.
You know, I like Captain America well enough. And, you know, like you mentioned, the movie is a pretty straightforward story. And I like the World War II timeline. And I like that Captain America is a little more reality-based than, say, Thor from earlier this year, which we both just hated and thought was terrible.
Yeah.
But I also like how we start to see the integration of Captain America with the other Marvel characters, such as the appearance of Iron Man's father in the World War II timeline.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch, and since the full title of this movie is Captain America, the First Avenger, this is a good start for the Avengers movie coming out next summer. And as you mentioned, stay for the credits afterwards. There's a trailer for the Avengers movie, and that's kind of cool because, you know, this is an actual trailer after the movie, right, Mr.
Yeah.
Film? So one of the rare times that we actually get to experience that. You know, ultimately the story and the movie was satisfying, and you get a good sense of American patriotism and hoorah, take out the bad guys, take no prisoners, can-do winning attitude that I like. But for me, and this is just really a personal preference, I think I prefer the likes of Iron Man to Captain America, because Tony Stark and the Iron Man, I mean, he's a real smart guy, he's a real genius, and he develops all his own stuff, and he grows rich from his businesses and isn't ashamed of it and that kind of thing. So I think I like his character a little bit more. And Captain America is more of an ordinary man turned into a superhero kind of situation. And, you know, here virtues of bravery and morality in general are emphasized. And when our hero grows from a skinny kid to a buff superhero human, he has to employ all that power according to his moral compass. And there's a whole bit in here about how and why they choose this kid for his moral compass first, not his physical prowess. And I'm sure all those scrawny comic book nerds in the audience will appreciate that. But, you know, the movie isn't totally clear on exactly which virtues it's emphasizing. I mean, that's kind of the point that, you know, he's overall a good, you know, he has a good moral character. And I think that's important. And but I personally enjoy seeing particular virtues dramatized in a movie. And that's just a personal preference of mine, I think. But, you know, this is just kind of more generalized. Now, the where the movie starts to really kind of go south a little bit, I think, is towards the end. It gets a little bit too over the top. And that's one thing that I liked about this, actually, that it is more reality oriented, you know, as opposed to Thor, which is more kind of fantasy based. And this just goes a little bit too far in the wrong direction toward the end. I don't want to give anything away, but I mean, did you find the dilemma at the end just a little bit silly, Mr. Film? I mean, if he could do what he did, he should have also been able to get out of the situation entirely and safely,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it would have been a way for him to get out of the situation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And particularly, people who are fans of the comic will kind of get, or particularly if you know a little bit about the original history of the comic character, you kind of know, you'll know what we're talking about when you see the picture. But yeah, it didn't quite work. I mean, it was pretty cool, but it didn't. And had a very, you know, you're right, kind of an over-the-top sort of feel to it, which I didn't mind. It had it kind of a James Bond sort of, retro James Bond sort of feel to it. But
it didn't, totally derail the picture either. So what I say is go see this if you liked Iron Man or X-Men and get ready for the Avengers movie next summer. And if you want to wait for DVD for this, I think that's fine too, but make sure you see this before the Avengers. I think it's a good prelude to that. Unlike Thor, which you can just skip. So
yeah,
I'm kind of on the fence. B+. I think I'm going to end up with a B on this, Mr. Film.
Okay. I think that's fair enough. Like I said, I enjoyed it quite a bit. And I think you're right on with it. I do like the fact that they choose Rogers to participate in this program for his virtues. I think that was kind of a nice,
and that was the best part of the movie too, I think.
Yeah, and it was the best part. And I like the fact that a lot of the action scenes, they just kind of give thumbnails for it, so it felt very comic book esque in that way, but in a good sort of way.
Yeah,
in a very good sort of summary sort of way. So it was really exciting. But
there's a really good sequence in the beginning where he's in training and they have some of these comic booky types of things. And there's some individual exercises where he excels and everybody else is sort of like, you know, trying to get by. And he sort of thinks outside of the box to solve situations, which I like that the most of this picture. That sort of sees his like intellectual prowess at play there. And that was a really good part of the movie.
Yeah, and it's nice to see like a thinking, more of a thinking sort of superhero, to a certain extent, a thinking sort of superhero. That's what problem I've always had for Superman, for instance. The guy is indestructible. He has heat vision, etc. He doesn't have to think out of anything. He just calls on whatever supernatural superpower he has to stop the bad guy. So it's kind of boring. So this was good. He gets beat up. It's an exciting film. I think it works. Go see it. I think it's go see it, particularly since it's like the perfect kind of summer film, and I mean this in the best sense, that it is that kind of big, over the top, exciting, colorful, fun sort of film that I think overall is very satisfying. And I think next year's Avengers is going to be I think that's going to be actually a pretty exciting event. We don't see those too much in terms of pictures. So that and Batman, I think, will be coming out next year too. So it'll be a good year. Next summer will be a good summer for comic book films. But X-Men and Captain America, I think we got two winners from the Marvel Universe with these pictures.
All right. Well, that's all we have for this show, Mr. Film. You can...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if you have a comment or question, you can write to us at mail@moviefilmshow.com. We also have a 24-hour comment line. Just dial 818-581-2010. And there's a plane flying over.
Plane flying overhead. I think we're getting buzzed.
All right. How do we wrap it up from here?
I think we just say goodbye.
All right. So that's it for this show, Mr. Film. Goodbye.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
Okay. I'll see you.
All right.
Goodbye.
All right, so what did you do for your birthday?
So we went to Universal Studios, and then we went to see Dolly Parton last night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
I didn't know you were a Dolly Parton fan.
I'm not really, but likes, you know, some of her stuff. And it's funny because I told her about Horrible Bosses. So I told
her. That's right, 9 to 5.
Yeah, is like, we should have mentioned that on the show.
Yeah, we should have.
Because that is so much better than Horrible Bosses.
That's 100 times better. And they actually, they don't try to kill him, but they do end up, tying him up and stuff.
Yeah. And it's like the female version of it, right? But it's the same kind of premise, and it's so good, and it's so funny.
Yeah, and it's held up pretty well, too. So,
Yeah. So, cool. All right.
You're fine.
Maybe I'll put that little conversation in the outtake. Okay. You know, this is an actual trailer after the movie, right, Mr. Film? So one of the rare times that we actually get to experience that.